Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 16. Keep your Bible open to Hebrews 4. We'll make reference to some other verses there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father in heaven, give us understanding of this and other scriptures that we look to this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. This verse, and others we'll look at tonight, gives us encouragement to pray, gives us confidence to ask according to His will, and to know that all heaven and earth will be brought to bear, if necessary, to answer our prayer. Come boldly. I emphasized last week that that does not mean brazenly, but boldly would carry with it the idea of confidently. And we come to the throne of grace, the term used to indicate where we go when we are praying to our Father. And He tells us we'll obtain mercy, and we can find grace to help. He says, he could just simply say, and find help. But he clarifies it and says, we'll find grace to help. When God works on our behalf, that is grace. That is His ability in action. Now, another thought, and the final one on these messages on prayer, that can be an encouragement and strengthen our lives and the prayer life of believers. And that is, Christ prays for us. Jesus Christ prays for us. We pray for others. Tonight, when we go men to the room there and the ladies in here, you, when you're alone in your own home, when you pray, you are going to the throne of grace, and we're getting the help that we need. And Christ is praying for us. As if it were not enough that He died a criminal's death, Christ continues His work on our behalf. It's the work of intercession. When a believer prays, somebody hears. And that somebody is Jesus Christ. He knows and He understands. Now, still in Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, identifies who it is, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Don't waver. Don't come hesitantly. Just hold fast to that profession of your faith. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We can count on it. When we go to God and pray, He is moved. He is touched. You've said that already. When you've prayed for somebody or you heard someone praying, and you may have said something like, wow, that touched me. You know, when I heard that they were praying for me, you may find that out, you know, through another person. So-and-so told me that they pray for you every day. And you said, wow, that touches me. That's what we're talking about here. We have not an high priest. In other words, it's a negative. We have not. Okay? We have a high priest who can be touched. He says that cannot be touched. No, he can be touched. Okay, we've got some of these, what do they call them, double negatives here going on. And you got to think it through. Well, maybe you don't. You might be sharp enough to catch it the first time. But some of us, you know, we got to read that again. with the feeling of our infirmities. There's a lot of strengths. There's a lot of excellent things and positions that fundamental Baptists hold to and teach. But there are some that we're just out in left field about. And one of them is referred to in this 15th verse. Look at it. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities.
Oh, we don't live by feelings. We live by faith.
Hey, want to know something? Faith has feelings. Yeah, faith is trust. And you're able to have confidence. You say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, take it up with God. Do you have the same Bible I have? Because it says right there in verse 15 that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities.
Well, if you have faith, you don't have to depend on your feelings. Just trust God.
Oh, that sounds so pious. But it doesn't agree with Scripture. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, I'm well aware that we're to live by faith. We're to base our thoughts and ideas and actions on what the Word of God teaches. All I'm telling you is what the Bible says, and it acknowledges that there's feelings. The same way with emotions.
Well, we don't get into emotions. That's the charismatics and the Pentecostals. And we're Baptists. We don't go with emotions.
Ah, isn't that something? I guess God should have been told that when he created us. Well, how about maybe he should have been informed of that for himself. He gets angry. Okay. Doesn't he? We looked at some scripture. He gets angry. That's a feeling, isn't it? That's an emotion. You read throughout the scriptures where God acknowledged the various emotions that people can have. The problem is when emotions are out of control. The problem is when emotions are not the proper expression of what faith gives a person. And yes, it's true. We don't live by... And here, this helped me a whole lot when I learned it years and years ago. Emotionalism. You see, emotionalism is when emotions is made the thing. Okay? That's the all-determiner. Oh, well, and you see, we do. We practice this kind of thing. Well, so-and-so, they went forward and knelt, and man, I just saw them. They were crying and weeping. Now, I know crying and weeping can be a sign of brokenness. So that's okay. But how many times do people in the pew assume that what happened at the altar was genuine because somebody was crying?
Uh-oh. Well, yeah, I saw them go forward and they knelt there at the altar, but you know, they just seemed so stayed. I don't think they shed a tear at all. Oh, well, then they mustn't have been genuine in their repentance.
You see, folks, emotionalism, making emotions the determiner, it isn't only charismatics and Pentecostals that do that.
Yeah, come on.
It's people of any denominational persuasion, and in that sense, Baptist is a denomination. Evangelist years and years ago that I met, he sang for the first time the song, and some of you have probably heard it, Hold to the Book. God said it, and I know it's so. Yeah, that's what we need to do, hold to the book. And the book lets us know that there are times when we have feelings. There are times when we have emotions, joy and excitement, okay? And thankfulness, you know? Yeah, I'm thankful. What kind of emotion is that? When somebody says, yeah, I'm thankful. Not the right kind of emotion, because it's not coordinating with what words are being said. You see, God made us a total being, body, soul, and spirit, and each part has its elements. The physical can get tired. The physical can get energized and just, you know, work up a storm physically. And the emotions can do the same thing, positively or negatively. All right, now here we are. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points like as we are, yet tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so when a believer prays, somebody hears. And the one who hears is God the Father. We pray to Jesus, and God the Father hears that prayer, and Jesus is interceding for us, an intercessor. We do not have, the Roman Catholic Church, they have a practice called confession, and a member goes into the church at a set time, and of course the confessional is the box or construction of whatever sort that the priest sits in and sits behind one screen. It's not a one-way glass. I don't think so. It's a screen. Any old Catholics help me out with this, okay? It's a cloth screen, okay? And the priest is behind it, and therefore he doesn't know who you are. Yes. And then you tell him what your sin is. And we don't need that, okay? That not only doesn't work, according to the scriptures, we don't need it. Because we have an intercessor, amen. Jesus Christ. We go to Jesus and we talk to Jesus about things. And then, you see, he intercedes. He goes where? Where does Jesus go when he intercedes? Who does Jesus go to? The Father. Not to Mary. You see? You confess to the priest, and then the priest, he takes it to Mary. And then she takes it. And that's what you call co-mediator. The two of them work together according to that teaching. And and Mary takes it to him. And why do they insert Mary there? Because, well, anybody knows that a mother won't refuse the son. You see? And the son won't refuse the mother, okay, in that direction as well. So there's just a little extra that I didn't plan on. In our prayer life, we must always remember and be conscious of the fact that the power in prayer comes by the power of Jesus' work on the cross. We cannot avoid the cross because the cross is what places us in Christ. And remember, when we go and we pray in Jesus' name, we're praying in Christ, and that requires us to be in Christ. Our position must be accepted, as Paul says to the Ephesians, as accepted in the beloved. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, familiar portion of scripture regarding the sacrifice of Christ in our place. But I want to see verse 12. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, here it is, and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus is the intercessor. And the cross places us in Christ, and it gives us authority to pray in his name. Remember last week I illustrated how I have a checking account, and if I give you a check with my name on it, you can go and get that amount out of the bank. Well, when we go to pray in Jesus' name, then we have his authority to work on our behalf. Listen, this matter of prayer is not just religious sounding talk, and it's not the sort of, it's definitely not wishful thinking. Now, as soon as I say that, nobody that's sitting here would say, oh yeah, I was thinking it was wishful thinking. No, of course we're not going to admit that, but stop and think about it. When we say, well, we hope he'll answer, We're not using the word hope like we have a confidence. We're using it like a wishful thinking. We hope he'll do this, but he might not do it. Well, that's where we pray in Jesus' name. We pray, as it says in other places, according to his will. And just like he prayed, Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Now listen, if Jesus had to pray that, you can count on it, we're going to have to pray it as well. And so we go and we pray in Jesus' name and in his authority. And the power of his resurrection is also behind our prayers. When we go to pray his resurrection, Hebrews, back in Hebrews, this time chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, and I'm going to have you look at verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to save me. You know, you don't know whatever I've done. Listen, right here's your promise. God can save you to the uttermost. There isn't any extent to which he cannot save you. There isn't any extent to which he cannot go in order to save you. You know, a person who says, well, I'm not sure God would forgive me. I'm not sure God can work in my life. You know, that person has a real high self-esteem. Because in reality, they may not intend it, but they're putting themselves above God. They're saying, I'm different than God. I'm better than God. Why? Because, well, I'm more powerful than God. I've done so many things that are bad, God couldn't work in my life. Uh-oh. Huh? Yeah, see? Now, right here, that just knocks everything out from underneath that. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Here it is. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He had to be raised from the dead. He had to experience resurrection in order to ever liveth to make intercession for us. He makes intercession because he was resurrected. And if he were not resurrected, he wouldn't be making intercession. And then look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. Hebrews 9, 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but he entered into the holy places that were made by God, but into heaven, that's the holy places made by God itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Because he rose from the dead, he now appears in the presence of God for us. Now that's what happens when we go to prayer. When we pray and we ask God to meet this need, help that person, we are asking God, and Jesus is going in the presence of God for us. Listen, this is not just some kind of, as I said, wishful thinking and some kind of, you know, religious talk. Well, with Jesus, would you help me? I'm really having trouble and I'm not sure what to do, but I know you can help me. You say, that sounds like you're making a mockery of it. I am, when it's no more than wishful thinking, when it doesn't have actual faith behind it, actual trust and belief behind it, because he has gone, when you pray, he goes into the presence of the Father for you. Now let's look at what Jesus said himself, going to the Gospel of John. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 20. John 17, 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So Jesus was praying for the disciples that were following him, for the apostles that were his workers, and we know that he inspired them with what are written down, in this case, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Paul's writings, Peter's writings, okay? He inspired them. And he says, now I'm praying for them. But I'm not just praying for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter, and Paul, James. Oh, no. He said, I'm not just praying for them, but I'm praying for them also which shall believe. Future. Shall believe. They aren't now believing, but they shall believe. Listen, friends, that's you and me and everybody from the time of Jesus until now. Hundreds of thousands, yea, millions that have believed on me, on him, through their word. Their word, okay? God gave them the word and they wrote it down. And now we who believe on Jesus because of the word. What's Jesus doing? Well, Jesus says he's praying for them. You see that? Do you see that? He said he's praying for you. Now, isn't that, that's not just some kind of religious talk. That's not just something that you know, well, that's made to make us feel warm and fuzzy. No, that's an actual reality. He's praying for us. I'm so very concerned that we get taken up. I'm going to explain it. I'm so afraid we get taken up with the emotions of things. You know, wait a minute. You just said it's okay to have emotions. Yeah, but that's not where our trust is. That's not where our confidence is. But I'm afraid there's a lot of Bible-believing Christians who get taken up with the emotions of things. Let me give you a simple illustration of it. Sister Ruth Ann puts a request on the prayer chain, submits it to the women's group on Messenger. Okay, somebody gives you a telephone call and tells you, we just had such and such happen by way of a prayer request. And, oh boy, there was a bad car accident. And, they're in the hospital. They're in the intensive care. We're going to be praying, aren't we? You bet we are. We're going to be praying. And then we don't hear anything, and we keep praying. But then a week goes by, okay? And when that week has gone by, And everybody's wondering, is Peter going to leave? You know, what is this? There's signals according to how that thing blows. You know, they know whether they need to jump or not. And are you jumping? No, he's not. All right. For those of you watching on live streaming, we've got some men that are in our fire company, and we're just hearing the fire company sirens going off. That's what all that was about. But you see, people, they hear and they pray intently for a day or 2 days. Maybe they get another call. He's out of intensive care now. More prayer. Then you don't hear anything. And then there's less prayer, you see. And yet we know that even if they're out of the woods, as we say, and they're now out of intensive care, we know that they're going to need rehabilitation and everything. But what happens? Our praying lightens up. It lessens. Now, you could say, well, that's because we know it's not as serious anymore. Yeah, you could say that. But I also think there's a lot of times that what happens is our emotions that were jarred by the horrificness of the car crash motivated us as much as perhaps the commitment to talking to God on behalf of this person. Now I realize I'm raising some questions, and there's some fine lines of understanding and distinction that are made in some of these things that I've said. I'm just calling us to an awareness of this sort of thing so that we are sure, you for you and me for myself, are sure that I'm praying with faith and that I am truly trusting in Jesus Christ and working and not just going through some religious, traditional talking, okay? It's there. Well, let me close with this. Last week I was short. I got home. Pat said, "Wow, you ended soon." I said, "Yeah, it'll be that way next week." And look here, man! I looked up there, and I can't believe what time it is. Kneeling by his bed one night, a little boy named Larry said, "Mommy, I want to pray a different way tonight." Larry usually prayed, "Now I lay me down to sleep," and you know how the rest of it goes. He said he wanted to say his own words. He had something special he wanted to say. So Larry began with his mother's permission. "Dear Jesus," and then there was silence. And then he started again. "Dear Jesus," and he didn't get any further. And after a third try, rather sweetly and trustfully, he said, "Jesus, you know what is in my heart. I just can't say it in words. Amen." Okay? Now, we as adults and teenagers, we should be able to put it into some words. But the fact of the matter is, there's some times when we just don't really know what to say. I prayed for someone this week, I almost felt like little Larry. I started, and finally I said, "Lord, I'm not really sure what to ask, but you know what is wrong. You know what the need is. Will you please take care of it?" Amen. I guess that'd be an adult version of the little boy's prayer, huh? Jesus is our intercessor. Father in heaven, help us truly to communicate with you, to relate to you as you would have us. Amen. You know what?